Today we're talking about two lessons, like racing and life lessons, that we can take away from the race weekend that we just had. Hello, race drivers. It's another edition of the Race Driver Coach Show. This is Enzo. And we're going to talk about the lessons that we can take from what we just saw over the last weekend with F1 and touring cars. These are the two examples that the race weekends I'm going to show you, just to hit home some kind of lessons that will help you improve as a driver, as a person, in life, in the car, outside the car, wherever. You can use what we're going to talk about today. And first off, congratulations to Esteban Ocon. First race win. I'm sure you've read all about it. You see it. You watched it yourself. Now, this is another life lesson I want to tell everybody out there. Esteban was a driver who didn't have much money at all. Just to give you a backstory, I used to work for a company called Gravity. Now, Gravity invested in drivers' careers. We went out. I was the scout and I was the sporting director. We went out and the coach. We went out, looked for drivers, saw which ones could do with investment. And this is cash now. Cash and the training needed to go all the way. And we took Grosjean on. We took Marco Wittmann on, Christian Vettoris, Richie Stanaway, plenty of drivers. Kevin Cordius, who's a good friend of mine now. And Esteban Ocon was one of them. Now, this was a kid. He lived in a caravan with his parents. And they were just selling secondhand cars, right? They didn't have enough money to go into motorsport. But they were racing carts and doing all they could. They put all their money, the father did, and the mother, into running Esteban in karting. And we spotted him. Gwen, who worked for us, we spotted him and started to pay for his racing because you could see that he had talent, he had skill. And then we paid for his Formula Renault and his F3. And then the Gravity program stopped, so we had to find other ways of getting money for his career. And that's when Toto Wolff and Mercedes stepped in and helped him out. So I just want to, first of all, just obviously, well done, Esteban. We've already spoken on messages, but it's to say to everybody out there that it is possible. Now, you know that it costs millions, tens of millions to get a driver from karting to F1. You pay $250,000 for Formula 4. You pay $1 million for F3. F2 is $2 million. This is just dollars. And then F1, who knows how much that costs. Hopefully you've been picked up by a program by then if you're quick enough. If not, you have to pay your way in. It's tens of millions. So you have to buy a team or something to get in. So it's not easy. But if you have the skill and the hard work and you can promote yourself, you can call people up and sell yourself, you never know what will happen. Obviously, you can't be a 50-year-old, never having raced and wanting to do F1. Well, never say never, but it's not likely. So if you're young and you've got the work ethic, you are fast and you can afford just them initial years in racing, enough for you to prove yourself to somebody. So you've got something to sell. It's all possible. And it was the same with Hamilton. He wasn't a money bags. Same with Bottas. So the ones at the top, a lot of the ones at the top did not have the millions in the bank account like people think. They just attracted the attention of people who could pay for them or who were in a position to offer them a drive. Never give up on your dream. If it's there burning, you've got to spend that burn. You can't just let it fester. So this wasn't actually one of the lessons I wanted to talk about today, but this is number three. This is the third one. But it's a big one. And it is, no matter what people say. You know, if they just think that you can't do something in life because they can't do it, then you just don't listen. Be true to yourself. Give it everything you've got. And if you fail, it would have been a blast while you were going for it. So just keep that in mind. Congratulations, Esteban. Nice story, and I'm hoping it will continue for you. Right. So this weekend, apart from that life lesson and working lesson that I just said, the big one for me is vision. Now, you've heard me spoken about vision. And as a driver, when you're in the cockpit, that means where you look at in the corner. So if you're approaching a corner, it's a normal right-hand corner. What a lot of drivers do, and you found yourself doing it, and I did it plenty of times, and I still do it now to keep reminding myself not to, is you'll get to the braking point, you'll position the car, you'll get to the braking point, and you'll just be looking straight towards like a turning kind of point, right? Turning area, but basically just looking ahead, looking quite shallow to the floor. And then at the end, so you start braking, and at the end of braking, you look into the corner and you turn in, which might sound okay, but that is very shallow vision. That's basically looking in an area where you're not really serving the mind. You're not telling the brain what's coming up next. You're not planning ahead. You're not really driving. You're driving too close to the problem and not bringing yourself back from the problem. And that's what we saw in a lot of the crashes from this weekend. From the beautiful Bottas crash that made the F1 race so good. Again, here's a driver, right, that was just looking at the back of the car in front of him. He didn't have a very good picture, an overall picture of what was happening in the corner. People are slowing down. It's wet. You're kind of near a white line, so you better be careful. There's cars behind that will hit you if you mess up. Don't get too close because you're going to lose downforce when you're too close to the car in front. So brake a little bit earlier, make the apex, and away you go. But no, broke a little bit late. Then obviously when you're catching the car in front, all of a sudden you can't help it, but you brake a bit harder, lock up, bang, you've got them. But what Ocon did, and you saw it with quite a few people, also Vettel, they saw what was going on. They lifted off early. They took a nice wide angle snapshot of the whole situation that's just about to unravel. And then they adjusted accordingly and got through the corner. I think Ocon was second and Vettel was third at that point. This is the difference. And this is what people forget. And we saw it in touring cars as well. You see somebody spin off. It's having that lack of awareness of what's going on in front that causes shunts. That awareness is vision. You look. You have a sense for how things are going. You look through the windscreen of the car in front just to get a snapshot. You see cars spinning. Then it's like, okay, take a breath. Find out what's going on. The problem is the person behind has to be thinking the same as well. Otherwise, they hit you. So collectively, drivers, be a bit more aware, especially on the first lap, is what is unfolding in front of me and how can I position the car so I can actually see more? Okay, somebody might dive bomb you. So you'll lose now and then a position, right? But overall, the law of averages is if you see what's going on and you adjust accordingly, you can usually undercut people, make a better decision in the process of shunts going on everywhere. You can be the one who comes through the smoke and through the other side. And you see it very often. Just twice, like I said, this weekend, but it happens all the time. And it happens in races when it's just two on one or there's less cars involved. And vision is the big one. So like I said, looking into the corner, like 200 meters away from where you are, depending on the corner. And you'll see drivers do this, and it's usually the very quick ones as well, actually, when they're on their own, if they're not being hypnotized by cars in front and getting carried away with just looking too shallow. What they'll do is as soon as they're starting to brake, right, they're coming to a braking area, they'll position the car, and they'll brake, but they'll be looking into the corner really early. So even though they've got another 150 or 100 meters braking forwards, they're not looking forwards. They're looking around the corner to their true apex. They're thinking, right, I'm braking at the minute because all I'm thinking about is a turning point and how I want the car to be pitched and how I want it to feel, where I want the weight on the car. So I'm braking, thinking of that, and I'm looking into the corner. And I'm looking into the corner earlier than everyone else because I want to tell the brain what it's planning for. And if you plan ahead like that, you'll be more accurate on your braking, more accurate on your turning point, more accurate on your exit power point. And now when you're turning into the corner, so you've done the braking, you're turning into the corner, you're already looking way ahead. Now you're thinking exit. You're not thinking apex anymore. Even though the apex is the next thing up, you're thinking exit. You're planning your exit power point. And if you keep, so the drivers here, you keep the mind ahead all the time, just basically to what the next thing is you're planning for, you will drive smoother, more consistent, be more relaxed. Everything happens slower and you'll be in control. That is the driving lesson. Always look ahead. And you figure this out when you're getting stressed. You'll find out that you become shallow. You start to look really shallow. And then your brain has to look at something, communicate back to what that actual incident, what is happening, and then the emotions come. And that's too much in such a short space of time to figure everything out. So if you spread that out and you're looking at the apex way before you're there, you can figure things out quicker. It's less frantic. And you don't want a frantic mind when you're in a car. You want a calm mind when you're performing. And that's the life lesson to take from this as well. as you go into every single day. You have a to-do list, that's fine. Do this, do that. You got not a nice long list you want to tick off. That's the equivalent to looking shallow. But if you take a step back at the start of the day, say, right, at the end of the day, what do I want to have achieved? What's the huge, big step forward, the leap forward that I want to achieve in my career? And what's maybe a small one? And it takes me towards my overall goal. Snapshot of the huge goal. How can I maximize today if I was to say today was a win? And then you come back to the now. So that is like a race driver's metaphorical way of going through life and succeeding, right? They're going through a corner. Think of what you want out of that corner, which is the goal. Look at the specific points, bigger overall picture, and execute. When it comes to your day, same thing. Big goal. What needs to happen that day, which would be great? Execute. Okay, second thing I can take away from this race weekend, which I know can help you in racing and in life, is when it comes to your time to shine, you must deliver. Ocon, again, he's in the lead. It's so easy when you're leading that early on to screw up, to let the pressure get to you, to let this world champion that's trying to get you right now, who's constantly attacking Vettel in the mirrors, to put you off. The pressure to be too much for you to not make the right decisions, thinking, oh my God, this is it. This is the one chance I'm going to get this year because it's just been not handed to me, but this is an opportunity. When the opportunity comes, you take it. So all these drivers that are listening to this now, I want you to take this on as I'm going to peacock. I'm going to tell people what I'm going to do in my racing. I'm going to tell sponsors what I can deliver for them. It's your job. If you want to be a champion, to be a master at executing. That means when the pressure's on, you can deliver. Another thing you can do in the simulator, right? When you're on pole position, you must deliver. And if you don't, you get to the end of the race and you monitor, what was I thinking? How did I create the pressure? How did I lose my head? And you start to learn about yourself. You spend your life as someone who's trying to succeed. You spend your life getting yourself into a position that will give you a good life, right? The problem is a lot of people do that. They get into that position and they crumble and they start to blame him or her why it didn't go right. Put it on you. Mr. Ocon got into the lead. He made sure he claimed that lead. And you saw Alonso do it a little bit, right? He tried his best to keep Hamilton behind, driving amazingly in his 40s and can still do it. Wily old fox is really hard to overtake, but he's positioning perfectly. The lesson from that is obviously prepare well. Know before you go into a race which corners you're going to defend on. He made a slight error, which let Hamilton get past in the end. But in F1 car, when every single meter of braking makes a difference, it's easily done. But yeah, delivery, I want this to be your area of expertise. I know how to get the best out of myself. I know how to perform when the pressure's on. And if you don't, you train it. Because this could be when you go into a sponsor to speak and pitch to them. If you crumble and you get worried and you start to sweat and you can't deliver the message that you're trying to deliver, then that's what you need to work on. Confidence and focus and you being at your best when you need to be at your best should be something you drill and train every day. Whether it's a game on the phone, could be a game on the phone that you're playing. Every time it gets tense, you seem to screw up, you get tense, you're not fluid anymore. Brilliant. Play that game more. Start to do breathing exercises as you're doing it. Start to put a smile on your face while you're playing it. Make it less important in your head. I'm just playing one shot at a time. On the simulator, train it again. Get into the lead and see if you can maintain the consistency and confidence. In real life, really make sure you put yourself out there. Put yourself in positions that forces you to perform and then train the ability to perform in them environments. And if you do that, you know, keep your vision up. Keep thinking of the big goal. We're summarizing now. Big goal, bring it down today. How can I win today? What is the main actions I can do today? And also, once I'm in the position, I'm going to deliver. These are the two lessons, apart from the very beginning one I said, that if you take them on and you make sure that you make them your forte, you're going to go far in life, I promise. No matter what you put yourself to, you will go far.